Well, this summer, Rustin and I are preaching a sermon series called Summer of Stories, Stories That Change Us. Each week, we are focusing on different stories in Scripture, human stories, storybooks, and even some of your own stories to notice how God weaves himself in and through the stories of history, the stories of our lives, all to draw us closer to himself. Our story this morning is about a man who's gotten stuck in his story, lying on a mat for 38 years, left him replaying the same old story day after day, hoping for healing, but resigned to the idea that healing may never come. Listen now as Lindy reads our scripture passage for today.
The scripture comes from the Gospel of John in the 5th chapter. Soon another feast came around, and Jesus was back in Jerusalem. Near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool. In Hebrew, it is called Bethesda, with 5 alcoves. Hundreds of sick people, blind, crippled, paralyzed, were in these alcoves. One day, one man had been in an invalid there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him stretched out by the pool and knew how long he had been there, he said, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man said, "Sir, when the water is stirred, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. And by the time I get there, somebody else is already in." Jesus said, "Get up, take your bedroll, start walking." The man was healed on the spot. He picked up his bedroll and he walked off. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. God, open our hearts to your love, open our minds to what you have for us, open our courage that we could join you where you're working in our lives already. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, healing is a funny thing. It is unpredictable. There's no formula for it, no recipe for this much faith leads to this much healing. It truly is a mystery. In fact, in this healing story, we don't have any evidence that this man had any faith at all until he musters enough faith to actually take up his mat and walk. The story begins by a pool that had 5 alcoves and was known to be a place of healing. Day in and day out, as the story goes, people in need of physical healing would sit by this pool, waiting for the waters to bubble up. It was believed that when the water started bubbling, an angel was actually stirring it, and that the first to enter the water while it was bubbling would be healed. The man in the story had been sitting by this sometimes bubbling water for 38 years, what was sure to be most of his life. 38 years of watching and waiting and wondering when his turn would come. In the ancient world, many believed that miracles were handed out based on faith. Those with enough faith were healed, and those who did not have enough faith were not. Those who followed all the right rules were healed, and those who didn't were not. It was also common to believe that a man who was paralyzed for 38 years must have done something to deserve such a fate. This man would have known all those stories that people were saying about healing. He would have heard them time and time again, and he likely asked himself over those years what he had done wrong to deserve that kind of fate. And I'm sure he often wondered, after seeing others be healed, why he still couldn't muster enough faith for his own healing. What the man didn't know is that his fate and his faith were about to change. All of us have a storyline or two in our lives that we would love to change. For some, the stories we desire to change are relational. We wish we had different friends, different family members, maybe. Or we wish that we could have grown up in another place with a different kind of connection. Some of us long for the kinds of change in storylines that would come from external things in our lives. More money, less drama, more time, not as many problems, an easier path somehow where we could call the shots and where it would all work out. It's normal and natural to long to want to change some of the storylines that we live with. But what happens when we tell the same, dare I say old, story to ourselves and others over and over again? So many times, in fact, that by telling that same story, we actually get stuck in the story. Jesus's call during his time on earth was to change the same old storylines people were telling themselves and others, storylines that were keeping them stuck and stagnant in their lives, in their faith, in their place in the world, and in their relationships with God. Rules and laws that were set up by humans turned out to miss the point of God's love. People that were deemed down and out by society were noticed by Jesus, who desired to help them own their stories, share their stories, and turn their stories toward God. 38 years is a long time to get stuck in your story. But then one day, along comes Jesus, who on his way to Jerusalem passes by the sheep gate, passes by this pool where we're told many invalids were laying, blind people, people who were lame and paralyzed, and of course, this man. Jesus sees the man lying there, and John tells us he knew right away he had been there a long time. And so Jesus approaches him and asks him one simple question. Do you want to be made well? Now, the man has an answer for that question right away, really, as people often do when they tell the same old story. He answers by explaining himself and really by making excuses. He says, "Sir, I don't have anyone to put me in the pool. And every time I do even get close to the pool, someone else gets in before me." Two responses, two excuses, really. No one will help me, and everyone else gets there before me. In other words, the man says to Jesus, "I'm stuck, and it's not my fault." That's the thing about getting stuck, isn't it? It's really sticky, because there's always a nugget of truth in our stuckness. For the man on the mat who's paralyzed, he's right. He is stuck. He can't walk. But the truth is, he wasn't fully stuck. There were some things he could do. For me, my own stuck place came in my family of origin, long after I was grown. When I was 33 years old, my parents told us that they were getting divorced after 36 years of marriage. It wasn't really a surprise to anyone. We all knew it had been a long time coming, but still, when you're told your parents are getting divorced at any age, it's very painful and very hard. My mom had suffered with untreated mental illness for decades, and when my parents got divorced, her illness reached new levels of dysfunction. And the only way to describe how I felt was stuck. Stuck in the middle of two parents that I loved. Stuck in unhealthy patterns of caregiving and overfunctioning as I tried to piece our family back together somehow. I first tried to be the peacemaker, but it's really hard to make peace when you're right in the middle of a war. Then I thought if I just kept everyone happy, things would eventually get better. Well, that got very exhausting. And then I tried fixing, suggesting solutions and orchestrating ways for people to change themselves and the situations they were in. Of course, no one had asked me to fix things. I just thought I should. And after a few years, the pressure was building on a lot of fronts. I couldn't keep it up anymore. I couldn't keep doing all the stuff I had told myself I had to do, but I was too afraid to stop because I thought if I did, something would fully fall apart. I forgot that it had already fallen apart, actually. The sticky part of my stuckness was that my family really was a mess. And it was desperately in need of fixing. But what I had missed sight of was that I was not the one who could fix it. It took me a few years to realize that. I begged for God to help me do it right. I asked God to put things back the way that I thought they should go. I looked for ways day in and day out to fix what had become so broken until one winter afternoon. It was after church, and it was during my kids' nap time, and it was that glorious moment you get as a young mom of backing out of your driveway without your children to go to the grocery store by yourself. It was awesome. I wasn't thinking about my family at all in that moment, but it was in that moment, backing out of our driveway, that I heard God say, "You can't fix it." I was sure I had heard God, or had misheard God. I was sure that God would answer my prayers in some other way, but then I heard it again. God said to me, "You can't fix it." This was my equivalent of being asked, "Do you want to be made well?" I really thought I could fix it if I worked hard enough and if God would just let me. So was I willing to put this into God's hands? Could I trust that God could remake our family in some ways that I never would be able to do? I spent 6 more months arguing with God and making excuses like the man did that day. I spent 6 months telling myself and God and anyone else who would listen that I could fix it. I tried to remind God that if I stopped working so hard, he might not be able to do it. I replayed the same old story again and again. But Jesus isn't interested in the same old story. Jesus is interested in helping us turn the page to the next chapter of a new story. The man experienced it that day too. Jesus, hearing his response, hearing his excuses, hearing him say why he's so stuck, all Jesus says in response is, "Stand up, get your mat, and walk." And what's amazing is the man does it. He gets up, he walks, he is healed. It's a miracle, and he's on his way to a new story in a new place with God at the center. My version of taking up my mat and walking and following was actually to do nothing, amazingly enough, something I'm not very good at, to stop meddling in other people's lives and to start trusting that God really did know better than I did. Truth be told, I don't really think the man or I believe that God could do it. But thankfully, God's love is not limited by human faith. It's not limited by those who get there first. It's not limited to those who play by the rules. It's not limited by the letter of the law. God's love is huge. It's generous. It's for those who believe, and it's for the skeptics just the same. God's love is not bound by human law or mythic systems in the ancient world or cultural norms we think we have to live by today or even by all the good work we try and do. Because those are the same old stories. And those same old stories are too small for God. Those stories are bound to things like doing it right and gaining power and keeping others from getting the power. They are not bound by love, which is what binds the whole of God's story. That day, Jesus offers the gift of healing, and it's a healing of a different sort. It's a healing that isn't bound by getting into the pool first, but is instead a healing that provides wholeness for this man as he moves forward into his life. For this man, his healing meant he could finally pick up his mat and walk. For me, it meant that I could rest a little bit and not work so hard and maybe follow God's lead a little bit better. For you, it might mean letting go of something you hold dearly, and that you're holding so tightly to, you might even be smothering it. For someone else, it might mean continuing to trust and believe in God, even when the physical healing doesn't come. For all of us, our healing means letting go of the same old story that we've allowed ourselves to get stuck in. So what are you waiting for? What mat are you sitting on these days? What excuses are you holding too dearly to let yourself be stuck in the same old story? And where might Jesus be saying to you, do you want to be made well? Like Jesus found that man in the midst of all his stuckness, Jesus finds us too. He's already taking the first step toward us in the midst of all the sticky places and in the midst of all our stuck stories. And we have the chance to pick up our mat, to stop fixing, to take the next steps toward wholeness and new life. So no more excuses. No more telling that same old story. It's time we do it, that we take up our mats and follow God. Let us pray. God, sometimes we've told the same story for so long that we actually believe it's true. So help us to be smothered by your truth, which is that you love us in the midst of it all, and that you pursue us in every way possible. And give us the courage, God, to step out of the story with your help, to write a new story with you at the center. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Sunday Insight. Wayzata Community Church is a United Church of Christ congregation that welcomes all people into every aspect of our ministry and full membership of our church, believing deeply that discrimination and exclusion in any form is incompatible with Christ's message of unconditional love. If you'd like to learn more about Wayzata Community Church, please visit our website, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or download our weekly podcast. And we'll see you in church.